In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So how many of you just read along with that or listened to that gospel reading and went, what does that mean?
Really?
Because I've read it and 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 read it, and I'm still going, what? What does this mean? And I have been reading it for 2 weeks now, because last Sunday I didn't preach because Bart was here. So I started reading it 2 weeks ago and looking at commentaries and looking at stuff scholars wrote about it, some of whom said, this is the hardest piece of scripture to preach on in all of the lectionary. And I said, no kidding. And if you don't understand what it says, you're not alone, because nobody really gets it. I mean, we all kind of get the ending, right? We all kind of understand that you can't serve two masters, and you can't, you know, worship money. That can't be your focus in life, is stuff. That can't be where you worship, right? At the altar of stuff and the accumulation of stuff, and serve God. Right? Those two things are opposites, right? If you're going to worship God, if God is going to be your moral compass, your source of being, your everything, then you have to kind of let go of the money stuff as being your source of everything. We can get that, right? I don't need to preach on that. You all get that. It's that sentence in here that says, and I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. What? I mean, I have to think, Luke got it wrong, right? Jeanette said maybe he was drinking when he wrote that. There was no proofreaders, right? Maybe there was something that he missed. And somebody, no one had the nerve to say, I think maybe that's not what he said. You know?
Blessed are the cheesemakers. Did anybody see The Life of Brian, right?
Nobody had the nerve to say, yeah, that's not right. That's not right.
Or maybe Jesus was being really, really sarcastic. You know, yeah, go right ahead.
Make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so when it's gone, maybe those people will welcome you into their homes. Go right ahead and do that. You know, there was no little emoji face that they could put at the end of that sentence that sort of let everybody know he was being really sarcastic there. I don't know. The one thing that I did read in all of my research that made some sense to me, I guess, not so much on that sentence, but on the whole parable that Jesus sort of tells about the dishonest manager, is that the guy who was in that position would have been somebody that everybody would have known tacked on a little extra to everybody's debt. And maybe not a little extra, maybe a lot of extra. That's how they kind of lined their own pockets, you know, got wealthy on their own. So that when he was found out that he was doing this by the master, or maybe he was doing something else, I'm not exactly sure what he got caught doing. And he brought these people before him and said, how much do you owe? When they said 100, they knew that that's what their debt was, because that's what he told them it would have been before. But really, he was telling them when he said, make it 50, they probably really owed the master closer to 50. And he was just taking off his cut in it. So he wasn't scamming the master in the end. He was taking away his cut, his 20, when he told the guy that he only owed 80, and his 50 when he told the other person that he only owed 50. So he was taking something from himself in the end, not from the master, and making the loan, or what the debt was, like interest-free, if you will. So the people that owed the debt were now kind of getting off a lot lighter, right? So now they didn't have this extra burden of the interest, if you will, on top of it. They just have to pay back what they really owed. So he was, in a sense, kind of repairing relationships with these people. right? He was kind of making things a little easier for them, and he was sacrificing something for himself. Now, as we had this conversation at staff meeting, because we did dwelling in the Word four times with this passage, some of us at book study, and none of us still got it, but anyway, and we got to that part, Claire pointed out, but he's still doing all that to get something, right? He wasn't just doing it to be a good, decent guy, because he was hoping that then they were going to be nice to him when he was homeless. And that's true, yes. But he still was somehow repairing relationships. So maybe one of the things we could take from this very complicated story, because there's always gotta be some truth, some good, right, in this, is that we can use our resources, our wealth, our gifts, to do something good, to repair relationships, or build relationships, or somehow create community, or do something with the gifts we've been given in a way that helps us to connect with other people. Right? Maybe we can take that away from this complicated, difficult piece of scripture. Or you can hang on to that ending part. That's a lot easier for us to understand. Amen.